Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Ken Block. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a phone call with AJ Benza. And now, your daddy doesn't approve of him, and that just makes you love him more. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on, get on. Good day, hi. Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
I'm sorry.
Let's see. We've got some breaking Avenatti lawyer, Stormy Daniels lawyer news. It's all kind of going on and unfolding as we speak. And so last minute, AJ Benza, who's I never know how people know everything, but AJ Benza seems to know everything.
He seems to know everything.
And well, we should kind of leave it at that.
He's convinced himself that he knows everything. And every time somebody says, you know, well, isn't he scared he's going to get sued? He never gets sued.
No.
So
not scared at all.
Yeah. And so the deal with like the Inquirer or the tabloid du jour, which out of France, they
I love that.
They will say things that sound pretty outrageous about, you know, Kevin Costner or whoever. But if it's true, they don't get sued.
True. Yeah. They do get sued, but the stories that, you know, don't get sued, you can kind of, like, you know, Jose Canseco's book alleged a lot of things to a lot of people. No lawsuits.
So what I'm kind of trying to set the table for here is whatever Canseco says or Tableau du Jour says, Tableau du Jour. Whatever they say, as outrageous as it may sound about whomever, unless that lawsuit comes down the pike, it probably is true, and that's how they work. Mm-hmm. So AJ Benza says many things, and never get sued.
In a world where, as Garagos and all lawyers tell me, anyone can sue anyone for anything, the fact that lawsuits aren't bandied about, they hear a lot of like, that's a total lie, that's a total lie, they printed a total lie, that's or fake news, or not a lot of lawsuits.
What are you going to do about it?
I was going to say, you can file a lawsuit against anybody. Go ahead. You got a team of lawyers paying retainers to.
And it has happened, I think famously we talked about Babs, Barbara Streisand, and many others. There are many instances when a celebrity says or an entity says that is 100% not true and I'm suing your ass.
Tom Cruise sued and won, I believe, the National Enquirer or Star, one of those.
Yes. Yeah. The courts actually found that he was not as gay.
Not as gay. Okay. You just got sued.
No, so... we'll bring AJ on because he has some takes on Michael Avenatti, who I interviewed on Reasonable Doubt with Mark Garagos. And I was two things about Avenatti. He's pretty polarizing.
The porno lawyer?
Yes.
Polarizing?
The porno lawyer.
That always says on his business card.
I found him sort of to be quite engaging. You sure will find, whether it's Avenatti or Don King, you get in the room with them and you realize why they're able to do a lot of business.
There's a charisma there.
There's something engaging about
them. It's called the Garagos factor.
Yes, oh, Garagos has that as well.
No, I'm complimenting him.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah.
I mean, I am. Yes, I am. Well, back to Garagos. I do... Garagos and I disagree about tons of stuff like all the time, and he just rolls right along. You can't be Mark Garagos and stop every time something you say is not popular, mm-hmm. or every time somebody disagrees with whoever, because you're defending Michael Jackson and Scott Peterson and God knows who else.
You could make the argument that it's his defining public persona or characteristic that he does the unpopular thing, at least for the major part of his career.
Yes, and he walks a walk and he talks a talk. And it's a better way to go through life. The chances of you doing that for a living, if you want to work at a Frosty Freeze and just perfect that action where you can capsize a cone, dip it in chocolate, and pull it out without the soft swirl falling out.
Sure.
Into the vat of warm chocolate.
Hero.
Everyone's going to be in a good mood, and no one's ever going to take you to task for anything.
You're going to make everyone's day. Everyone you see
right.
happy.
But if you choose a profession where you give your opinion on a podcast or you defend Scott Peterson, then there's going to be a certain percentage of society, like 1,000% of women, white women between the ages of 22 and 71, are going to fucking hate your guts.
Or say Chris Brown's like a son to me.
Right. So.
Not the only ones are going to judge you.
Yes. You better get used to just walking. Just cashing checks and walking. Just walking in the mailbox, getting that check, and cashing it. So,
but Mark Garagos is the nicest, present company marginally excluded, is the nicest guy on the planet. You know, he's not polarizing in real life.
Well, this is a good topic, which is, must we marry our opinions and must we marry other people's critiques of our opinions or opposition to our opinions or what have you to inhabit every soul, every square inch of our soul and every fiber in our muscle? You know, I think he does not have that. He has the... I disagree with him on things. He disagrees on the thing, but we both agree that we both love each other and enjoy each other's opinions quite a bit, and we can carry on. And it also, it doesn't, him disagreeing with what I say or you disagreeing with what he says or any version of that, why does it reflect on him? You know what I mean? Why does he need to internalize all that stuff? Mm-hmm. That's just... Can't you? I mean, you like SC, and Drew's wife likes UCLA.
Say Sonny Corolla likes UCLA. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, he likes UCLA.
Came in here wearing a UCLA t-shirt. Almost ripped it off him.
Oh, God.
Then I realized it'd be...
I know. I was just talking about last night. I was a little confused about some sort of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar conversation we got in last night. But anyway.
Lou Alcindor?
I almost exclusively talk to my son about black men over 6'4". That's about... People want to go, like, what did you and your dad talk about? Talk about cars? I brought up cars on rare occasion, but what we really talked about is black guys over 6'4".
Larger than average black men.
Yeah, we'd do some Karl Malone talk.
I'd be happy to help with the conversation.
Segue into LeBron talk, and then we'd move into Kareem talk. Right. We want to go like old school talk.
Some old Dale Beckham Jr. talk. You know, we'll make exceptions once in a while.
Yeah, still, you know, fairly ranging man of color. Right, right. But it was pretty much just talk about black guys with a good vertical and tall. That's all we talked about. And anyway, yes, he likes UCLA for reasons unknown. USC because you attended USC and doesn't make either one of you a bad person. And I'm not sure why either one of you would want to internalize that.
Right.
Okay.
We're able to host
Dr. Drew went to USC. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
We're able to host a hit podcast together.
That's right. Fantasy BS.
That's right.
There you go. Dr. Drew went to USC. His wife went to UCLA. Or he went to med school at USC. Blah, blah, blah. That's fine. This half of the show brought to you by Quicken Loans at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Simply Safe. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Castrol Challenge. Tweet us your question, Castrol Challenge, hashtag Castrol Challenge, sorry, Adam Carolla Show. And I should tell you that Ken Block, who's coming in here, who does the Gymkhana, he's doing the 10th one. I know him fairly well. Crazy. Visually, some of the coolest stuff you'll ever see in your life, that Gymkhana stuff. Yes, Brian.
I just had this thought for the first time because we've known about, you know, Drew going to USC for med school and now rooting for UCLA, which is horrible. I feel more strongly about that than I do about wives taking their husbands' last names. Like if they choose not to, or God forbid, that goes the other way, men's taking the woman's last name. Like, oh, how progressive. How interesting. Well, I've never heard about that. If a guy chooses the woman's team, oh, no. No, 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 no.
Under no circumstances.
No.
What school did Drew go to with the jumping Jeffries or the jump
Amherst?
The Lord Jeffs.
Lord Jeffs. Amherst. Yeah. And I think they may have gotten rid of the mascot.
I think they did, like recently, like a couple years ago.
What's a white guy doing running around the sidelines? I don't know.
He's the white guy in the field.
It's kind of funny because we don't like Indian mascots. We don't like white guy mascots either. I think they should all just go with Stanford. Just put the tree out there.
Yeah.
Just put a tree out there. Just put a big spruce out there.
Drunk
and we'll get on with our lives. All right.
They're the mammoths now.
Ugh. Good. All right. Okay. Problem solved
extinct.
For who? The indigenous community?
The extinct victory. Animal federation?
One more feather in your cap. Oh, I can't say that.
Yeah. All right. Problem solved. Anyway, moving forward. I hope when our civilization dies off by noonish Saturday, that whoever inhabits this planet will study us and be wildly confused by the things we prioritize and the things we didn't seem to care about.
Uh-huh.
I'll
love that.
I'll enjoy that. I will enjoy that. Max Batta, I was saying that Ben Bailey from Cash Cab, who was in here yesterday, who I enjoyed quite a bit, I kept hearing him, and it was reminding me of somebody. All I do is I see things or I hear things that remind me. And I said, oh, my God, he reminds me of Rich Eisen. His cadence, his tone and his cadence. I didn't know if they're the same neck of the woods. I couldn't tell if it was a regional thing. I didn't know what it was. But you went and grabbed some Ben Bailey talking and some Rich Eisen talking that's going to be satisfying to me.
Let's hope.
All right. Here we go.
Do you see potentially you getting into a conference and joining it and giving up your independence at all?
The day after he did it, we leased his cab and medallion from him for like, and then we just kept it going for like 5 years straight, you know.
So they're two different microphones, but you could totally you could hear the
If you picture
the timbre.
I think it's timber. All right, try it again. Try it again. Let's listen. Yeah, I guess the two different mics. Now you got to. Here's the key. Try to picture Rich Eisen when Ben is talking.
All right.
If you try to picture Rich Eisen when Ben is talking, it'll make a difference.
Do you see potentially you getting into a conference and joining it and giving up your independence at all?
The day after he did it, we leased his cab and medallion from him for like, and then we just kept it going for like 5 years straight, you know.
Yeah. Definitely the cadence.
There's something there.
The cadence is there.
All right, now we got to get Rich and Ben in here on the same mic.
Yeah.
And ask us trivia questions.
Sports questions.
All right, just popped in my head. We will, so give us the broad strokes on the Abinanti thing, as far as we know.
As of this moment, that's really all we have. I'm sure AJ will have more, but he, you know him, of course. He was representing Stormy Daniels in her legal battle with Trump. He was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of domestic violence. And according to TMZ, the arrest stems from a Tuesday night incident between the lawyer and a woman at an apartment in Century City over here in L.A. They said it was his estranged wife. Then they backed off on that. Avenatti has been since released and has denied the accusation. Here's what he tweeted. He said, "I want to be clear. I did not commit domestic violence, nor have I ever committed domestic violence. I did not strike any woman, nor have I ever. I did not strike my ex-wife in the face, nor did I hit anyone else in the face. I am a decent man, and I look forward to being exonerated."
Both ex-wives have gone on record as saying he's a good man.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Ironic. Not sure if I get my current wife to go on record. But he's got two ex-wives.
Amicably, to say the least.
Couldn't get Olga to pay her by the hour to write up something kind about me. All right. So we'll talk to AJ in a moment, who'll call in, who has some info on this. So he is online for us. So we'll talk to him about this. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. I'm a big fan of Simply Safe Home Security. Prepared for everything. If a storm takes out the power, and we all know a lot of trouble out there. Let's be prepared. Let's get Simply Safe. If your keypad gets destroyed, you got Simply Safe. They'll always be ready. Maybe you don't need to be ready for the worst case scenario, but that's what makes Simply Safe great. It is always ready. Just $14.99 a month. No contracts, no hidden fees, no nothing. Just great service at a real good price. Up and running in under an hour. Peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. There's two I's in there. Simply Safe. Just go online, order your system, your kit. It'll show up a couple days later at your door. Put it up in under an hour, and you're up and running. SimplySafe.com/Adam. That is SimplySafe.com/Adam. AJ Benza. AJ?
Hey, guys.
Hey, good to speak to you.
I'm sick, or else I'd be in there, but you don't want to see me like this, trust me.
Yeah. All right. I will. I'll go down that road with you, and give you a huzzah. AJ, it's got a podcast called "Fame Is a Bitch." It's every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Apple Podcasts. You can sign up for Patreon. Get the podcast every day. What do you know about this case?
Well, here's the thing. The main thing that Avenatti's got to come to grips with is, he has to be able to reconcile two statements he made. One statement was, he said out loud in front of police, "She hit me first." Mm-hmm. Then later, in his speech to the people outside, he said, "I've never hit a woman." So mm-hmm. he's got to reconcile those two statements. And I got to tell you, I'm not going to condemn him yet or convict him yet, because just like I believe in people are innocent until proven guilty, even though he didn't during the Kavanaugh trials. But there's a lot about Avenatti that spells out, this is the kind of guy that would bash a woman in the face. You know what I mean?
Did you call him Cavanaugh, by the way? It's a good mashup.
Combination of the two men. Avenatti, look, guys who like the sound of their own voice, guys who are fame whores, guys who have multiple marriages, multiple lawsuits, typically that's the kind of guy that's going to bang up a woman. Yes or no?
Well, let me think about this. I like the sound of my own voice.
I've been sued a few times. Bad start.
I don't normally, I don't do the suing, but I have been sued. AJ, you like the sound of your own voice. I'm not sure about the lawsuits
or
the marriage.
You're not sketchy, Adam.
See, I like to think of myself as dicey, but not sketchy.
Iffy.
Right.
And iffy. Well, there's a big iffy of whether I'm going to be dicey. And my past is sketchy, but my current is dicey. You know what I mean? Now, eventually, my current will become my past, in which case, my dicey will become my sketchy, but that's still iffy.
Yeah. You're not shady yet, so you're fine. Yeah.
That's right.
It's all blurry.
It's not an exact formula. It's just something I've been putting together over the years.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple guys, but here's a world. All right, let me give you this world. The guys... Bing Crosby famously beat the crap out of his kids. Now, he was bingy.
Yes.
But it wasn't sketchy or dicey, but he was bingy.
No.
And it wasn't even iffy. But if that guy can open a can of whoop-ass at home, the guy's going, April in Kalamazoo. If that guy holding a golf club, if that guy who does duets with Bowie, who can be a little iffy and dicey, sometimes Bowie. Yeah. And sketchy.
Right.
It can be a little Bowie.
Right.
If David can be a little Bowie, then Bing can be Bingy can be a little dicey.
That's good math.
Now, so anyone is capable of this when you go back and you look at the guys that were accused. It's like when you found out hold on. What's his name? And Stephen had in a wheelchair
Hawking with his nurse.
Hawking.
That guy was cheating on his wife.
Yeah.
Okay, Stephen Hawking cheats on his wife. Then I think we're all under an umbrella of possibility of cheating on our wife, right?
She can't find out about this.
That's right.
Absolutely.
All right. So now if Bing can beat on his kids and possibly his wife, and Steven can cheat on his wife, then that means potentially me and AJ could beat on and or cheat on just about anybody.
Yeah.
Guilty. I'm guilty. Absolutely.
We're certainly guilty of falling in between those two and their activities, right?
It's that spectrum. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You know, what I don't like is Avenatti also dragged out the I have daughters card. O.J. Simpson had daughters, too. I don't like that card.
The daughters. That's speaking of O.J., that's like, I have black friends. You know, I can't be racist. That's
you can't,
insane.
Can't do that.
No. Well, you can try, but most people who do the beating on have done that. Look, when you talk about, like, you know who loves their mamas the most? You know who loves their mama the most? Ray Rice. No. Ray Rice loves his mama the most. That's this whole plan of like a straight line of I love my mama, I can't put my hands on a woman.
Right. How'd that work out?
Right. Nah, not so much. A little ricey. Yeah. Not so much Ronan. So, Ray Rice's a little dicey, but it's a little iffy with his mama. Sorry.
But, you know, here's something that's dangerous, though. Mm. I mean, whether or not we want to believe this, the fact is the guy... There's a big difference between a misdemeanor domestic violence and a felony domestic violence, and he got arrested for a felony. That usually means that something's busted or really beaten up pretty bad. Misdemeanor's a scratch, you know, a felony domestic violence is a different charge.
That's heavy. let's explain this from somebody who's, you know, been on the sort of police blotter beat for a long time. Me and my wife, we get into a big argument. The neighbors call the cops. They hear a glass break or something. And then the cops show up, and there are no marks on either one of us. And they go, we heard him screaming, I want my lasagna.
Right.
And and now we're here. What would we – that'd be a misdemeanor. And they said, we're gonna detain you or something. That would have been, but if somebody's got a bloody nose and a shiner
– felony.
That's a felony. So –
Yeah.
You show up and you charge someone with a felony, that means you've seen something.
Well, I mean, I think it means that you're seeing something in front of you. You don't have to have seen it in person, but once you get there, you're looking at a broken, a bloody nose or a shiner. Once you see that, it's the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony, and obviously someone's got to be removed from that scene and go to jail. They can't leave and do nothing.
Right.
I want
here's what he did. He did something that a lot of guys do. I've been in this position before where it's a Tuesday night. You tell the girl you're that's practically living with you, this isn't working out. You know, you got to leave. By tomorrow, have your shit out of the house. Well, he gets back to the house Wednesday. She's still there. They start arguing. Shit gets thrown around. He yells. Now, we don't, no one knows what happened physically, but we do know she was outside yelling into a cell phone. How dare you do this to me? And well, then when the police got there, he was heard saying, she hit me first. This is bullshit.
Yeah, the police. And where are you getting all this information?
I'm getting this information from, I'm not any closer to this than you are, except I've read every report. I don't have police telling me the truth. The thing that's sketchy is that TMZ reported it was his wife, which wasn't true. So they retracted it. And I'm no closer to it than them. I'm just telling you, as a person who's been involved in these sorts of things, I know that scenario where you tell the girl you got to go, but she's still there. Shit gets ugly. Now, I've known girls who said, if you're telling me to leave, I'm going to smack my face against this door and tell the cops you punched me. Mm. That could be the situation, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no. So I'm not convinced he's guilty. I'm just saying the scenario he's in can go both ways. If he did something, he's done. If he didn't, it could absolutely be a girl who wants to fuck with him and bang her face against the wall to get whatever it is, a payout or get him screwed.
All right. Hold the phone for 1 second, AJ Benza. Max Spada, we had a conversation about this case when I was driving in.
Yeah.
Explain to me what AJ Benza's angle on this was as conveyed to me while I was driving in.
This is an exact text from his guy. I said, I asked, do you know what AJ's take is? He writes, he thinks it's a hit on Avenatti by Trump troll. He thinks TMZ is reporting wrong. His main thoughts are now the guy who said, we must always believe the woman is in the crosshairs.
So okay, where does the Trump...
You want to hear my text?
Yeah, where's the Trump troll part?
Yeah, here's my text. Well, hold it. My text was, here's what happened. Because I've been in his shoes, he told the girlfriend she had to leave his place on Tuesday. She didn't want to leave. When he got back Wednesday, she was still there, so it got ugly. Nobody knows if he struck her, but I generally don't trust any guy who protests that much. Avenatti is exactly the kind of guy who would rough up a woman, loves the sound of his voice, and I went through the sketchy thing before. Plus, he was heard saying she hit me first. I generally don't believe any man who lives by believe all women. I'm also just glad he's getting back in spades what he helped do to Brett Kavanaugh. The Trump troll is this guy named Jacob Wall. This happened on a separate phone call. Jacob Wall is a guy that tried to take down Robert Mueller a couple of weeks ago by saying he raped somebody.
We should get our shit together a little bit more.
You got it.
Okay. AJ,
I am interested in your take on Avenatti. No problema. But I'm also interested, as I said, if this was a war, we'd all be dead. We would be dead. If we were flying an airplane, we'd all be in the side of a mountain on fire right now, because I'm more interested in how we communicate. Like, I'm getting your take is Trump set this guy up sense. I was like, okay, that's an interesting thing. He got screwed by Stormy. Now he's going to set this guy up. But, again, we just have to work on our communication.
They took a big leap at that. There's a possibility this guy, Jacob Wall, this Twitter troll, this 20-year-old hedge fund manager.
Oh, that guy.
Avenatti, as he was going down, said, when I'm exonerated, I'm going after you, Jacob Wall. So he thinks it's Wall, too. I don't necessarily think that's true, but that is a scenario that's out there, sure.
Mm. Yeah,
I don't think Trump and this guy would do... Look, the cops were there. They saw a girl with her face bruised up. So that had to have occurred somehow.
Yeah, I know. Just put it in the form of an email and send it to Max Zapata next time. It's the weirdest conversation ever. All right. Hey, AJ, I like little things like the misdemeanor versus the felony.
Right.
Yeah, it's why are they charging a felony if there's no cuts,
right.
No bruises?
He said, she said.
And it's time for you guys to you go to the Denny's on the corner and cool off and you go back into the condo or whatever it is.
Right.
Why are they arresting somebody? It's a good point. It does beg more questions, which we will ask, and we'll keep you guys monitored. AJ Benza, everyone, fame is a bitch. Love this man. And get better, AJ.
Listen, it could have been my head cold today. Maybe I screwed up on the communication system, but All I know is MAGA stands for something else now. Michael Avenatti got arrested.
Oh, wow.
That's good.
It was my attorney got arrested, but now it's changed.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay, that's good. All right, guys.
Thanks, AJ. All right. This is weird. So I thought AJ had some inside on Trump troll getting him, Avenatti, obviously, getting him screwed up on this thing after the Stormy Daniels thing. So I thought that's the road we're going down. But either way, information's information. It's all interesting. Ken Block is out there just one of the most visually, I don't know, can we show these guys 20 seconds of, we've watched a video before, him going through San Francisco or what have you. Just visually, some of the most compelling. I just say visually because what I'm trying to do is say it has nothing to do with being a car guy. It's visually some of the most compelling footage you'll ever see in your life. And I worked with Ken on a campaign that we could probably have Christy Bishop break down at some point. We'll look at that in a second. I'll tell you guys. Well, let's watch him going around. San Francisco, right? I'll tell you who should win awards. Whoever's editing this stuff should get a
Chloe,
a Chloe, an Emmy, a Clutchy, pressure platey,
a tranny,
a tranny. That's not even funny.
Sorry.
But it's funny. It's funny because it's not even funny.
This one's actually Western New York. This is the most recent one. Gymkhana 9.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it didn't look like San Francisco. San Francisco is literally going streets of San Francisco. All right, we got it. It's great. It's great stuff. I got to hang out with Ken for a while. About a year ago, Gymkhana. We'll bring him in a second. First, let me tell you guys about Castrol Edge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with the Castrol Challenge with your question for Castrol Challenge, brought to you by Castrol Edge. Formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times,
fool!
Stronger against viscosity breakdown and leading full synthetic. What do you got there, Max? Probably got a question?
Yes, I do. Rapid Terrier on Instagram wants to know, hashtag Castrol Challenge, what's your best technique to learning a new track and establishing a rhythm?
I would find somebody that was fast who knew the track and just follow their line. Like, the first thing is you can print out like a placemat that basically shows the track as seen from 1,000 feet, and then it'll just have the racing line going in between the two black lines. Like, here is your racing line, early apex, late apex, whatever, track out, track in, whatever. You should physically just kind of look at it, like just go, oh, here's the path. Here's the way. Here's the way to grandma's house. Look at it. But then if you can, when you get down to the track, at some point, get someone who it's their home track or they know the track or they've got a lot of seat time going around that track, and you just follow their line. Like, you may not be super fast yourself, and you may not be able to do it yourself, but you can follow somebody.
Right.
Like, anybody can just follow somebody. And I've done that many times. You physically just follow the person that looks like they know what they're doing.
What's easier? This might be splitting hairs. I'm not sure. What's easier to get in? And I know that the cars are hollowed out, but let's say they weren't. Is it easier and more beneficial for you to get in the car with them or to follow them in your own car so you're actually driving?
They normally don't have a passenger seat, so it's kind of table. So no, but follow them.
Yeah.
Follow them is the way to go. All right, that's my answer, and thank you, Castrol Edge, for that. Okay, Ken Block's on the clock, and he's got a heart out, so what we're going to do is we'll take a quickie break, we'll bring him in, and we'll get into it right after this.
And now, a quote, real Mangria testimonial.
Hi, I'm Beth, and I have children, 9 of them.
I love them sometimes, but there are 9 of them. When I get back from work after a long day at Fabric Barn, I need a stiff drink before a stampede of mistakes comes running at me. For that, I turn to Mangria. It has just the right amount of sweetness and strength to satisfy a hardworking, okay mother. Thanks, Adam, and thank you, Mangria.
Head to CorollaDrinks.com and enter promo code MISTAKES for 20% off orders of 3 or more bottles.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit Spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
And now, Sonny Corolla reads a tweet from James Woods. I liked you better when you were RoboCop and not this sad old man.
I wasn't in RoboCop, but a wonderful actor named Peter Weller was. And I am a bit sad today because your mom left her dentures under her pillow. Hashtag Instablock.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Never been prouder of a boy.
The mom jokes.
And Block in studio, rally driver and founder of DC Shoes as well, a real entrepreneur. Gymkhana 10, we'll talk about where you can find that and how you can find it and all that kind of stuff. Good to see you again, my friend.
Thanks for having me on.
God, Gymkhana's gotten 100 billion views because it's a worldwide thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we just figured out a way to make car action look really good and real and as real as possible. Yeah, and people enjoy it.
I would imagine Asian market's pretty big for clicks and you. And
you know what? The biggest market is actually here in the States, and then second biggest is Europe. So there is a lot in Australia and Asia, but surprisingly, a lot of our audience is here.
I think it makes sense to me that wherever anyone's from, that'll be their sort of base. But I would have thought Japan second and maybe Europe third. But okay,
yeah, no, Rally itself, which is the basis of a lot of what I do, actually is giant in Europe. So
true.
For me, it as far as our global social media numbers go, America's number one, Europe is number two, and then it kind of spreads from there. But with the video views, a lot of it really is based in the States.
The most popular episode now with 10, coming up on 10. What was the most popular?
Gymkhana 5 in San Francisco is roughly 100 million views.
Damn.
That's crazy.
It's wild.
How do you get them to shut the city down for you to go get air going down the street?
Well, the funny thing about that is the first time we did that was San Francisco, and we actually went to scout. There's like an old military sort of base north of San Francisco on the east side of the bay.
Yeah.
And we went and looked at that.
They filmed BattleBots there, right?
Did they?
Yes.
I would imagine.
I've been there. I've been there as a guest or something, okay. And they did BattleBots there.
Nice piece of trivia.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, we went there to check that area out, and we just weren't that happy with it. Just wasn't dynamic enough. So we're driving back towards the city. And the scout that had taken us up there was like, hey, let's go look at these spots in San Francisco. And we thought it was a joke. Like, no city's going to let us do this stuff on their streets. Like, we just didn't think it was possible. But, you know, that obviously when they get permits for movies, it's a very dynamic thing. They do lots of movies on the streets, lots of shows, that sort of stuff. But we just – that wasn't our world at the time. We had no idea you could do that stuff. So the scout that was actually with us, I think he had actually scouted it for Iron Man 3. Mm-hmm. But they ended up shooting that, I think, in Florida, maybe Miami. So he's like, look, I've got all these locations. Let's just go look. And so we looked at some of the locations. And we're like, yeah, holy shit, this stuff would work, you know? And I said, hey, find me a jump. Find me, you know, one of the really twisty streets. Find me a downtown spot. And so we went back like a month later, and he had all these locations. So, and we said, we're like, the whole time we were filming, we kept thinking, like, at some point they're going to shut us down. They're going to figure out that we're just hooning around with cars and get mad and stop us. But they actually really embraced us. And really from there on out, it, you know, like we had many cities like contact us or whoever we did work with really embraced us because they
shut our city down.
Yeah, well, they really looked at what we were doing. They're like, yeah, that's good for us as a city.
I think at a certain, you know, I'm sure the very first time Don Rickles showed up at his in-law's house for Thanksgiving, it was horrible. But after a while, it becomes a feather in your cap to have Don Rickles roast you, right? So, like, there's a kind of a thing in life, and there's a lot of this in life, where you go, oh, this is bad, and then at some point, it becomes a point of pride. Mm-hmm. And it also, it's kind of a tourism board, wow, sort of love letter in a weird way to your wherever you are.
You know, it's a good example. That was the nation of Kazakhstan after Borat came out. They were initially obviously
they were pretty angry at the beginning,
yeah. But then they turned around, and I think at some point it's on Wikipedia, Chris. But at some point even when you called, like, you know, the embassy or the tourism board, whatever it was, like, they had Sacha Baron Cohen doing the voice, or they had some music from Borat. Like, they embraced it after a while.
It's how ex-heavyweight fighters do, you know, Frazier and Ali become the best of friends. It's how Bob Denver, who played Gilligan on Gilligan's Island, was like, I hate this role, I hate this character, I'll never put that stupid hat on again. And then at some point he's at a boat show taking pictures and signing autographs and waxing poetic. I think it has to do with not producing any more testosterone and wanting to die. But at some point we all kind of move on. And who's on your wish list of cities? We're at 10 now. When are we hanging up the Toyos or whoever your tire sponsor is?
You were right.
Yeah, hanging up the Toyos and it's the type of tire, Jim. And like a cleat thing. Cleats are kind of shoe that grip the grass.
I'm glad he said that to you, not me.
So when are we hanging up the Toyos in the Gymkhana?
You know, that's a really good question. I am blown away that we've actually made 10 of these now. I started doing them for fun, and, you know, I'm a sponsored driver, so we're always trying to get extra exposure for your sponsors so you can keep being sponsored. And then 10 years later, we have an Amazon 8-part documentary show about us. So it's pretty wild. I mean, the plan is to keep going for a couple more years at least.
I should say that two episodes are going to premiere today as we hear the pod, and then two every Friday, following Friday?
Yeah, so there's 8 total. So we basically tell the story of the making of Gymkhana 10, go through a bunch of our history. They followed around a bit of my racing for the past year. So it's really quite a well-done documentary. The crew that did it for us at Hoonigan did an incredible job. It's the first time we've ever produced a TV show.
How do you do? I know you've done very well with the DC shoes, and I know Hoonigan does really well in the shirts and hoodies and hats and that department, the swag department. How does what makes that? What are the successful ingredients for saying, like, how many Hoonigan shirts have you sold or hats or impress us? Brag. Go ahead and brag.
Well, the funny thing is Hoonigan's actually still quite small if you compare it to something like DC Shoes that was at one point over $500 million in sales. Hoonigan's tiny compared to that. But we're actually more of a media company than we're an apparel company. The media side of our business is much bigger than the apparel side.
But you move a lot of shirts and hats and stuff like that, right?
A decent amount. But the motorsport world for that sort of stuff compared to, like, the skateboard market or the surf market's actually a bit smaller. You don't have motorsport shops like you do skate and surf shops, right, that are all over the country in, right, the malls and that sort of thing. So it's just a very different business model.
Rallycross is super exciting. And I know you do – there's an X Games version of rally And then there's a sort of European version of rally, be sort of the difference between like Arena League football versus Canadian football or something. One's like more condensed and in the middle of the city, and there's a little spread out. So what do you got on your schedule? Because the now we know our friend Tanner Faust does as well. That is some of the most exciting rallycross stuff. Like it is for those of you who think I don't know, NASCAR is a little boring because they're just kind of going in a big circle the whole time, and other people think F1's a little hoity-toity for them or something like that. This rallycross stuff is it's all the best of everything you like about racing.
Yeah, you know, for me, it's one of those things that, you know, I grew up watching stage rally, which is out in the forest, these long stages, cars sliding and jumping through snow, you know, dirt, tarmac, all that sort of thing. And basically, rallycross is you take those cars, you bring them into a stadium or a smaller track and double the horsepower and put them door to door. And it's quite a, you know, as a motorsport, it's growing and growing. And I think for one thing, it's an exciting sport, but it's also very sort of intermittent. It's good for the ADD generation that it isn't a 3-hour one race type thing. It's a bunch of small races that build up to then a final race. So it's I think it's, for me, it's really fun to watch. It's fun to do, of course, but I think it's actually really well for the way people like to consume media and watch these sort of things nowadays.
It's kind of, as I talked about, like what's growing and what's shrinking. Talk about this yesterday, but it's kind of MMA for cars.
Okay.
It's like it's not, you know, NASCAR maybe a little more baseball, and I don't know, Indy maybe a little more basketball or something, except minus any black people. But this is like mixed martial arts for cars.
Edgy.
Like it's all fast, it's all exciting. It's there are no lulls. It's just go. And these guys just go nuts, and it's like super condensed into like a short period of time, and it's all action. And I just find it when it's on. I don't even know what the season is. What is the season on it?
Season is typically say April through November. And I was racing the World Championship the past couple of years. I'm not this year, but they still have one more event left to do, which is in South Africa. So it's a pretty decently long year, about 14 events.
What about Baja 1000, Baja 500, you know, those kinds of races?
For me?
Yeah.
Or in general?
Well, in general, you.
Asking my opinion?
I don't know. I don't know if you've... The Baja 500 or Baja 1000, it's one of those things where a lot of people have done it and you don't know they've done it. There's like IndyCar drivers that have done it, NASCAR drivers that have done it, and James Garner and... Paul Newman did it. You think about him driving road courses and on streets and stuff, but he did it once or twice, I think. So I don't know who's done it. I don't know if you've done it. I don't know.
I have not done it. It's something I would like to do someday. But I've been very focused on stage rally, rallycross, and Gymkhana for the past 10 years. So I haven't really ventured out to do something like that.
The thing that was crazy in the past about all these races, especially rally, like back in the past, and Max Batty, you can look for some of this stuff, but some of these European rallies, you know, they're just out in the countryside, and there's just dads with kids on their shoulders just standing on the outside of turns when these Audi Quattros are sideways, and it's pouring rain, just going sideways through the whole thing, and it's like... I don't know if that guy just catches an edge. You're going to take out a whole bunch of people. And that was understood. Like, that's just how it worked,
yeah,
right?
They, like, the Argentinian WRC rally, they would have 1 million people on the stages over 3 days. It was that big.
How much pressure is that as a driver, knowing that if something, you know, and these guys are getting air over these jumps and landing, and people are just lining the path. It's pretty insane.
Yeah, that doesn't happen today. They're a bit more secure with how they set up the stages and police the people along them. Most of that was in the 80s that it was like that. But you still get the random person standing in the wrong place. A buddy of mine that I raced with in the World Rally Championship actually killed a guy a year and a half ago, maybe almost 2 years ago. The guy was just in the wrong place, and it was a icy stage, and he went wide on a corner, and the guy happened to be standing against the bank, the only guy on this whole bank standing in the wrong place, and my buddy hit him. It's not that my buddy, it was just icy. Just went too fast to the corner and hit the bank, and there just happened to be a guy standing there.
Yeah, they used to have like the Targa Florio and stuff like races in Italy and stuff where they just go down the middle of the street, and there'd just be people sitting on the sidewalk like drinking wine. And it was just insane. Now, what happened was is a couple of kids got killed and blah, 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 and they canceled it. But yes, it's sort of like the Isle of Man TT.
That or was that paradoxically part of the appeal, like the danger aspect of it? I mean, you can go out and watch any sports you want, being, you know, the death-defying part of it. Is that a little bit of the appeal?
I think people who run with the bulls would probably tell you that they didn't. It wasn't like no one who runs with the bulls was like, well, I was on the street anyway, and I was going to my friend's house, and then all these fucking bulls came running out, and I was wearing a red tablecloth at the time. So it was kind of just bad timing. I didn't want to be involved, but you know, I just ran anyway.
But I think it's part of evolution. I mean, F1 got to a certain point where they're going so fast that they had to start making the tracks safer and better. Same with, you know, most all sports, especially rally. It's like, okay, well, you know, in the 50s and 60s, the cars weren't so fast. The tire and suspension technology was terrible. But as things got better and better, more faster and more competitive, the drivers are more on the edge. So
and the drivers were getting hurt, but the people in the stands weren't. Like back in the day, right? Like when you see all those that footage that you have of the car flips and stuff, they weren't really flipping into the stands, were they?
They could make it. Yeah, I mean, famously at Le Mans, they took out 80 or 100 people.
Never mind.
In the stands.
But I just think you see these guys go right into a wall. But
well, yeah, but it's
all Final Destination, you know.
It's an interesting thing. And Max, if you're looking for footage, look sort of 80s, mid-80s European rallies, like where guys are catching air. That's the scary part in land, but you don't have to find it that fast. Just a couple things. One is, at Le Mans, famously in 52 or 3 or something, or Mercedes just incinerated a lot of magnesium, everything just burns like napalm, and went to the stands and took out between like 80 and 100 people. So then Mercedes dropped out of racing for a number of years after that. It was a really, that whole story, Max Pata, now you can look for that Mercedes crash at Le Mans, but that whole story was really eerie. Like there was a guy and he was getting older and he'd done Le Mans a bunch of times and he wanted to drive. So they like put him in the car and he didn't feel comfortable because he thought the car, it was too fast for him and he didn't feel safe. But Mercedes said, like, we want a German driver and not a French driver. Like, you need the driver of your car's origin. You know, you don't want to stand up there on the podium with like an American and a French guy driving a Mercedes. You need Mercedes drivers. And the guy didn't want to do it, but they like did it. And it's sure enough on lap, whatever, somebody was just like pulling out in front of him or whatever, clipped him and, not only did he disintegrate, but he disintegrated anybody else. But, and these cars crash, catch on fire, they go into the stands. But even in a modern day vintage race at Laguna Seca a few years ago, a guy in a Decon Monza in my race just sheared off his wheel hub and his tire bounced and went over like a 20-foot fence and landed in the bleachers. Like, could have killed the kid if it was sitting there. It was a full-size race rim, just somehow scooted and doink. And so there's really, you can make it as safe as you can try to make it safe, but there's sometimes the stars align. Yes?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, over time they've tried to make changes, make things safer. But like Adam says, shit can happen. But
how about Pike's Peak? That seems like the craziest of all.
I think it's one of the most dynamic and amazing races in the world, and one of my favorite mountain roads. I grew up watching it when it was dirt. So, you know, it's paved top to bottom now. So I'm a rally driver that likes dirt more than tarmac. So I would have liked to have done the whole thing when it was dirt.
Yeah, I don't know what's at the top of Pikes Peak that it needs to be paved. It's kind of a weird
it
thing.
It has to do with, as far as I can remember off the top of my head, it has to do with some sort of rodent that the dirt was coming off, the gravel was coming off the road and filling their homes, their holes.
Oh,
and so they decided. Jesus Christ.
I was hoping there was a Fuddruckers at the top who paid off a local politician. That's the way I roll. I didn't know it had to do with a hedgehog.
Well, that was part of it. And also just the danger factor. Like they're, you know, back in the day, there was a lot of people losing their brakes and crashing off that road because, you know, it's a steep, long, dangerous road. And car technology obviously wasn't what it is today.
But you when you do Pikes Peak, this story, by the way, I know the video, we haven't seen the crash, I think, but what is the story, Max Bat, as far as you can tell for that driver? I'll give you a minute. 55, Le Mans. Pikes Peak doesn't have guard railings for the most part, right?
There is some at the absolute worst drops. And then there's a bunch of other areas where if you went off, it would be quite bad, and there are no guardrails.
And your job is to kind of hang the rear end as close to the edge as you can, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've raced it when I was younger, but then we recently made a video there for Toyo called Climb Kona, where we actually made a video of kind of the most exciting parts of the mountain being as sideways as possible with my 1,400 horsepower Ford Mustang. So, yeah, if I wasn't trying to hang the wheels off the edge of the road, it didn't look good enough. So,
right,
you know, I'm pushed to do kind of some silly things sometimes, and one of them in particular was on that mountain. Mm-hmm.
Did we can find some footage of that? We shall
take a look
at some of it.
How many thousand
feet in the air are you?
I mean, elevation wise, I think we're at around 13,000 feet there, and that. I'm not at a cliff there, but there is, you know, a 45-degree bank there. And if you look it up real quick, that's called Evo Corner. If you just search Evo Corner Pikes Peak, there was a Mitsubishi Evo that went off there and flew off probably airborne about 80 to 100 feet and landed and rolled down that pretty bad. The guys lived.
Jeez. Wow.
Which is a testament to whoever built their cage. It is shocking. Yeah, here you go.
Oh, God.
Just understeered right off it.
The understeered right off. Yeah.
That's like Toonses.
Yeah. God, there's a lot of big boulders to land on down there.
Yeah,
too.
So that's the exact corners.
So that's what can happen. It's a crazy car flying off. It's exactly what you think it is. It's a crazy car going off a cliff and rolling. And
Toonses, look out.
You need a good cage. I had this weird thing. I'll do a weird roll. So I'm in the middle of building a roll cage a couple blocks away. The thing that's crazy, I'll just sort of geek out with Ken here for a second, but maybe it'll be interesting to you guys.
I got a couple.
Yeah. Grab a smoke.
The thing I love about race cars, and I've always told you I loved about race cars, is how there's no fake vents and no bullshit and no nothing. Everything is there to do something. And the people that are best, who can do it best, like who go like little stupid things, like a little switch on my BRE Roadster that shuts the alternator off. And you go, what is that for? And he goes, it shuts the alternator off. And you go, how does it, I mean, disconnects the alternator, which is running off the crank, a belt, you know, belt. A car engine is like like an old-timey turn-of-the-century factory steam engine that's running everything in the textile mill, right? It's like it's over here spinning, and it's running all these belts. It's running your air conditioning pump and your power steering pump and your alternator. You know, it's turning everything. Okay. You know, it's like that. We're okay. Good with that?
Yeah. I replaced a belt in my day.
There you go. You cannot get out and take the belt off your alternator, but you can throw a switch that disconnects your alternator, doesn't make the gravity field, you know, because it's a generator. Okay. So a little generator. You take the stress off the generator and get one more horsepower for the end of the race before you run out of battery juice because it's not making a generator. So I love the idea that they're trying to take every single minutia and fix it, make it lighter, whatever. And the Germans may do this better than anybody. That's sort of why they win. That's why Porsche wins so many races. So I was looking. I'm working on a replica 935 Porsche that's going to be in the Apple livery because it was the first car sponsored by Apple. Same car I have today, but it's got the Hawaiian Tropic sponsorship on it. Anyway, the old cage is out of the car. An old cage is out of the car because it's aluminum. They make aluminum cages. The problem is aluminum is good because it's light, but it's not nearly as strong as chromoly. No. And the guys who went down that hill on Evo Corner, Mitsubishi Evo Corner, yeah. The guys who went on Evo Corner are happy that they had a chromoly cage right. And not an aluminum cage. If they had an aluminum cage, it'd be dead. Because it kind of flies in the face of having a cage. It bends pretty right. easy. It's light, but it bends. So when you get the car, you pull out the aluminum cage and you put in the chromoly cage because I'm a podcaster and I prefer chromoly over. I'll give up 4 pounds and take my chromoly cage 10 times as strong. You pull the aluminum cage out. Mm-hmm. It just goes all the way around, you know, and the molts in the front, bolts in the back, you know, comes around the side. You see that in the front, there's an inlet for oil, and in the back, there's an outlet for oil, meaning the Germans didn't want to run oil lines through the car to a cooler in the front. That's just an extra 3 pounds worth of oil lines. Why not run the oil through the roll cage? Wow. That way, it's just for, they only need it from here to here. It's like 5 foot where I'll put it in here. It'll go up. It'll probably cool off a little and it'll go out the back. Now, more hot shit to spray on you when your cage doesn't work when you roll over, but.
So an aluminum cage full of oil.
Full of hot oil.
Now you're getting it.
What are you wrong?
Not as safe as a chromoly cage filled with good vibes. But he let you know, everyone was insane. Everyone just wanted to go faster
right.
and didn't really care that much about safety. Although someone said, you need a roll cage. And they went, okay, right. We'll make it out of aluminum. We'll fill it with hot oil. Yeah, so literally an inlet, the front of the cage, and an outlet, at the back of the cage. And that's how they brought it from the front to the back.
I do crazy. Love that mentality, though, of race cars where it's like, no, the arrow needs to be there. Well, that's ugly. I don't care.
You know, right. Like,
that's what works.
What you know? Car? You jump in 5 different cars, right, on this yeah. thing. That's a challenge, right? Because there's a lot of big difference between a Fiesta and a 65 Mustang, right?
Yeah, well, that's kind of the thing. I've done 10 of these videos now, and the first 9 were all basically one location with one car. So when, you know, it was concepting out what Gymkhana 10 could be, it was, well, we set the bar pretty high. How do you kind of overachieve on that? So, well, if one's good, 5's better. Yeah, you know? So that idea came about. And it worked out really well because with the Gymkhana Files following along the whole process of making this video, actually going to 5 different places around the world, 5 different cars, there was just a lot more storytelling to be done. So we ended up with the 5 cars being my Mustang, the same one that was we saw in Climbkhana there. So it's 1,400 horsepower, 65 Mustang, a 90s Escort Kazi. That was never sold here. It was a car that was European only, and they raced it in the WRC back in the 90s. Also had my Ford.
Kazi, short for Cosworth.
Yes, exactly. So it's, the actual name is Ford Escort RS Cosworth.
Right.
Wow.
And then another car was my.
We're looking at them, by the way.
Oh, there you go. And then that one was the. Well, there's the Kazi.
Yeah. So you did stuff. It's from all different eras.
Yeah, basically. Two of them are very modern. It's the Ford Focus RSRX that we raced in the World Rallycross Championship for the last couple of years, and then a Ford Fiesta WRC car that's currently racing in the WRC series. And then we built a new vehicle, which is the final vehicle, the hero vehicle, which is a 77 Ford F-150.
Do you think, and Max Patty have the story of the 55 crash?
Yeah.
Do you, I'm trying to think. Pikes Peak. Pikes Peak's at serious altitude issues, and altitude is kind of the enemy of engines because the air gets thin.
Okay.
And you need the air to be thick, you know.
Sure.
To work. So turbocharging is good. But I think somebody set a record in an electric car, or they're going to set a record in an electric car.
It's set.
It's set. And that's it. So Pikes Peak, which has been going on for 100 years, the record is set by an all-electric car and will never be beaten by internal combustion engine car, I don't think, ever again.
Yeah, no manufacturer is going to spend $10 million to go back there and try and beat that record with a combustion engine. It just isn't worth it. Electric is the next thing in automotive.
I just drove the all-new plug-in Jag, the new SUV.
Oh, yeah. How is
and?
It, first off, you're always amazed at how fast electric cars are, because the fast is the acceleration.
The I-Pace?
Yeah, I think it's the I-Pace. Yes, the I-Pace. It's great. It looks great. It's quick as shit. The part about – so when you're driving – when you're taking off in an airplane, you go from, you know, rolling at 5 miles an hour to, you know, 120 miles an hour and you take off. Mm-hmm. All right. So where do you feel the speed the most? You feel the speed the most at 80 miles an hour as you're going into 90 and 100 miles an hour. Then you get up to cruise altitude, you're going 575. Right. You don't feel it.
Nothing.
So it's the getting there that you feel it. And the electric car, I punched this thing a few times. I was driving it yesterday. It felt like the front end was going to come off the ground. Like we got pinned. And, you know, you drive around a Porsche 935 on a racetrack, and it's fast, but you don't just feel it right at the beginning. It's got to spool up, and then you can kind of feel it. This is boom, pow. It's the future, and it's there. We don't have the infrastructure just yet with the charging stations and everything.
Still
it's a pain
up.
In the ass, and everyone's got their own proprietary, you know, 3-prong or 4-prong plug that doesn't match the other guy's plug. And then, you know, the wife's got the Tesla, but the Tesla charger's not going to work on this. And I don't know if they make a pigtail.
Verger.
Blah, blah. All right. Sorry. Max Bad, you got that story? And we'll.
Yeah. So in 55, there's a French racer named Pierre Levesque. And so he was racing. Two guys are in front of him, and one of the guys cuts into the pit really late, forcing the other guy to do an evasive maneuver, which he gets into Levesque's way, and Levesque hits him and goes into a wall and instantly dies when he hits the wall. His skull gets smashed, and his car just disintegrates and incinerates at the same time, and just all of his car parts launched, like his engine's radiator launched over 300 feet into the packed grandstand, killing 83 people, over 100 more injured.
The Pierre Levesque story, then him, then is it Mercedes wanted a Frenchman in their car or somebody local in their car? They got to drill down on him a little bit, because it's a very eerie story, as I recall. He didn't feel good about it, didn't want to do it, or thought the car had too much speed for him. He'd done it many times and not been on the podium or something.
Was Levesque the guy that died or the guy that made the pit maneuver?
He's the guy that died.
Okay. So, yeah, so, and then, and there was another Mercedes driver behind him who, right before Levesque hit the guy, made a slow down motion, which saved his life, because that guy said that it was because of Levesque that he was able to live. Mercedes dropped out of the race, out of Le Mans the next year, and for the next 30 years because of this, as a sign of respect to the victim.
I think the guy, you can look up more on the driver, but I think the guy who cut him off, I think he died in like a road going accident. Like there's some sort of curse of Le Mans or something. Like he died soon thereafter on the road, or his mechanic did or something. I don't know. It's a long story anyway.
And like they were using the advertising billboards as makeshift stretchers to help everybody.
Oh my God.
It's crazy.
But they didn't cancel the race, right?
No, they didn't want people to leave.
I love it. It's such a great 50s thing. You know what I mean? Like, all right, everyone have a cigarette, shot of brandy. Let's get this back going again.
World War II, but over for nine years.
Yeah, that's barely 100 people. Not even. They finished the race. Imagine an event where 80 plus people died and another 100 are injured where they continued. Like, I don't know if that was at Cal Jam.
Be in poor taste.
Or Lilith Fair. Yeah.
one of the signature violent events.
Yeah, that's right. Put on. That's right. All right.
Yeah. So yeah, the race continued in order to prevent spectators from leaving.
Oh my God!
Which would have blocked all access roads and the ambulances. So that could have been why. But the race continued, and then they tried to figure out who to blame. Eventually, they just decided to blame the design of the track. Saying that
that's always nice.
It's good. It's good.
I blame the asphalt.
Cars going that speed.
All right. Well, drill down some more because I want to get in this later on or some other show or something because the driver story is eerie. Anyway, Gymkhana Files is the show. Two episodes premiere today on Amazon, and then two more episodes every Friday for the next three Fridays. Am I right, Ken
yes,
Block?
Yes, sir.
Where are you off to, Ken? What's the next race?
Next for me is going down to do a Gymkhana Grid, which is a race series that we have, just very small series. It's down in South Africa, Johannesburg.
Wow.
Nice.
So going down there in about just 2 weeks from now.
What a life. One last one for you. I don't know, just talking about John Wick or something. And, you know, we talk about our friend Tanner Faust and stuff. A lot of guys do a lot of stunt driving in between, for fun, some for money, whatever. You get asked to? I mean, you're busy enough, you make enough money, but do you want to? Do you get asked to?
I've been asked to. I don't really have any interest in that. I get to do lots of fun things outside my race cars. I get to do a lot of fun things around the world in my race cars. And I have three amazing kids, an amazing wife at home. So I try and, when I'm not doing all this stuff, get home and be with them.
You got it
but
all figured out.
Isn't there an element that wants you to sit in a theater and go, that's not really Ryan Gosling. He was pretty much, he's in the car, but he's sucking my dick while I'm doing a donut.
You know what? I have been lucky enough to do a lot of this driving and do it the way I want to do it instead of waiting around for some director to tell me to slide around a certain corner.
Yeah, you have.
So, I kind of gotten to do all that stuff, but on our own terms. So I'm going to be happy in that moment.
God love you. See? All right. Real quick. Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and you don't have to go anywhere? You just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Now, you don't drive like Ken Block.
It's like, Ken, you should look into Geico insurance.
I want Coit Tower insured by Geico in case Ken knocks it over. Put that extra money in your pocket at geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance at Geico. All right, Ken, thank you so much for joining us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with news right after this.
Thanks for having me on.
The holidays are fast approaching. You know what that means. It's time to eat, drink, and fight with your family. For a limited time only, we're offering custom-built crates built by the hands of Adam Carolla himself with maybe a little help from the lackeys and Olga and the twins. Head to CorollaChristmasCrate.com now to pre-order the perfect present for the holiday. What's included? A custom signed and built box from the Ace Man himself. A custom, if you're offended by Christmas shirt. A signed Christmas card from Bald, Gina, and Ace. Two stemless Corolla drinks glasses. A bottle of each flavor of Mangria, a bottle of 33 Cabernet and Chardonnay, a Corolla Drinks ice mold, a Mangria tote bag, plus a Corolla Drinks wine stopper designed by Wolf Island Design Company. For a limited time only, this $300 value can be yours for only $200, and we'll eat the shipping cost. So for the Adam Carolla superfan and your family, head to CorollaChristmasCrate.com and pre-order now. And remember, if you're offended by Christmas, have some Mangria and shut the f*** up.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.